and once again showing his versatility.
I think we have 5 number ones.
Everything's coming up Milhouse.
But $22 million for Brian Daboc, give me a break.
And Redmond has been thrown out of the ballgame.
An NFL tight end, you know, those playing years are dog years.
Maybe it's adamantium. Maybe it's vibranium. Maybe it's something really cool I don't even know about yet.
Welcome back to another episode of the 300s Podcast. My name is Red, and as always, I will be your host. Today is going to be a super podcast of sorts. We're going to be previewing the Patriots-Chargers upcoming playoff game, but I'm also joined by the heavy hitters in Big Z, Mattis, and Joey B. Boys, how are we doing today?
Not bad. Excellent.
Doing excellent. Excited for this weekend. Pumped.
Yeah. And this is the first time we've done a video podcast with all four of us, so hopefully we don't all yell all over each other like an episode of The View, but we'll see.
No promises.
Who's Whoopi?
All right, so we got Chargers coming to town. The Patriots, as we all know, they backdoored their way into the number 2 seed, which I love, but I'll take it. I'm not going to complain about getting a home game in the playoffs. The Patriots are actually going to be a 5-point favorite over the Chargers, and it's a 48.5 over-under. Now, we'll get into predictions later on, but Patriots have had a week off. The Chargers, they looked great blowing out the Ravens, or it was a blowout until they came back in the last couple minutes. But how are you guys feeling about this game? What are your initial thoughts? I don't know. Let's go with Rick and in the Adam Schefter crew first.
Well, my sources are telling me I should feel good about this. No, I do feel good about this game. Brady with the bye, I believe he's only lost once after the bye in his career, and it was that drive to nowhere game against the Jets almost a decade ago. I do like the Patriots. They're at home. They're undefeated at home. Traditionally, they're pretty tough at home. Sounds like it's going to be a cold day, maybe some inclement weather. So I do like the Patriots. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, but I do like the Patriots in this spot.
Yeah, I agree. It's you got to go with the Pats. You know, Brady undefeated against Rivers his entire career. But at the same time, I think that this is probably one of the best or one of the toughest home playoff opponents that they've had in a long time. I mean, since maybe the whole dynasty started back in the early 2000s. You know, I mean, I think the Chargers this year are a very talented team from top to bottom. They got a great offense, top 10, defense too. It's just they got it all. So I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, but I think they should pull it out in the end.
Yeah, I got to go Pats as well. I mean, to kind of play off last week, the Chargers were able to do that because they'd already played the Ravens. They saw what they had to offer. The Patriots have been playing Philip Rivers since, I think, 2003, so they've had 15 years to watch what he can do. They've seen these kinds of defenses before. I just don't see, just that experience alone, I don't see a way that the Chargers can kind of get the upper hand for 4 whole quarters.
Yeah, it is interesting to have Phil Rivers coming back in. You know, it's been a few years since they played each other, but the Patriots, the quarterbacks that they've had coming in over the years, there's been a lot of shitty quarterbacks that they've played. I mean, there's been the Brock Osweilers, there's been the Tim Tebows. There hasn't really been a lot of guys coming in besides Peyton Manning back in the day. Really,
yeah. Mark Sanchez when the Jets are making the run to the AFC Championship. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the old AFC teams, I think, were kind of predicated on defense. And I think the Chargers are just as good as some of those other teams on the defensive side of the ball. But offensively, they got some weapons, man. They really do. And you got Hunter Henry coming back this week. The guy's been out the entire season. Sure, let's just throw him in the divisional round. You know, and why not? You got to load up if you're going to keep up with the Pats. So this team has weapons. I think it's going to be a pretty tight one.
That was something I wanted to bring up. Can we pump the brakes on Hunter Henry? The guy tore his ACL
his first 2 seasons.
But that was with an ACL fully intact. I know. This guy blew his knee out in May.
Second round.
He's had 3 weeks of practice. 8 months.
But yeah. you can't
he's
go
not
off
Jerry
the,
Rice.
You can't go off that he just came back from the injury. He's a pro athlete. They don't let him back unless he's ready to go.
Yeah, but
if
you're
he's
not
back,
you're
back.
Like, I totally understand that, but you're still never going to – you're not going to be what you were 8 months, sure. Pro athlete or not. It's going to take a year. You see a lot of times pro athletes, they take a full season. Even Julian Edelman took him multiple weeks to get back to where he was even, sure. Approaching his old self.
And an extra 4 weeks on top of that.
Yeah.
And then you have, on the opposite end of that, you have Melvin Gordon, who's clearly banged up. He's not 100%.
Yep, but that stable of backs is really good. You got Eckler behind them. That kid Justin Jackson's been great. They can all catch the ball. I mean, so they're just loaded up and down the entire offense. The Williamses, you know, Mike Williams, big target in the red zone. Tyrell Williams, too. They're kind of almost one and the same, you know, in terms of, like, just usage. But, again, there's not one weakness on this team, and that's what kind of scares me about them.
Now, I was doing some research today, and I found a couple of interesting tidbits. I know that it doesn't really matter how far back we go. Patriots are 16-4 against the Chargers since the NFL merger. So the Chargers, again, games in 1970 don't have much to do with this game. But Brady is 8-2, and so Belichick is 8-3, actually, because the last win the Chargers had over the Patriots was with Matt Cassel at quarterback in 2008. So again, not all that history is going to matter on Sunday, but it's been a while since the Chargers have had some success against the Patriots. So I think that's all some good karma going for the Patriots into this matchup.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I mean, the track record definitely says that the Pats are favored. But I got a little question for you boys, and I got in a debate with a friend the other day about this, but would you say that Phillip Rivers could possibly be the best quarterback to not have a ring? So besides maybe Marino, who would you go, Marino or Rivers?
It's hard to say no. I mean, Phillip Rivers is insanely good. I'm a big Phillip guy. I think, especially beginning of his career, a lot of people didn't like him because he's such a hothead. He's insane, and a lot of people hate him because of his weird-ass delivery. but I think he's insanely talented. Other than Gates, he honestly always hasn't had the best weapons. And he's always been really good. I just think he never had the complete team or the complete coaching staff to get things done despite, you know, all of his talent and his 15 kids.
I think Marino is the default answer, but that's a really good point. I hadn't thought about it. I think Rivers is certainly the best quarterback now, active quarterback, to not win a Super Bowl. He could very well be better than Marino if it ends up that way, if neither of them have a ring. The one thing I'll say about Rivers that I've always admired about him, he's a tough son of a gun.
Very,
you know,
tough.
He's a very tough player, and you know, you don't always see that at that position.
Yeah, he played on a torn ACL in that AFC Championship game back in 2008. Yeah. I mean, that's something. Was that the game where they went out and classlessly danced at the end?
I got to touch upon that. I think that was the
06 too.
06 divisional round.
The lights out dance in midfield. So, yeah. I hope they do that again. I hope Merriman's there to see it.
So something that's going to be an interesting key to watch is just these home road splits. So the Patriots are undefeated at home this year. They're 8-0. And the Chargers, technically undefeated outside of the Los Angeles DMA. The only road game that they lost was in LA against the Rams. So they're technically undefeated on the road, but they've still lost one to the Rams themselves. So they're not going to necessarily see that dominant home road team. But again, this is a team that, it's a California team. They're coming across the country to play in, you know. Yeah, I know, Joe, I know you want to talk about it, the weather thing.
So Not only that, it's not just the weather. It's not just that they've never played in a game below, I think, 50 degrees. They're practicing all week in L.A. And Phillip Rivers said, you know, why wouldn't we? Well, I mean, you've seen
and it. That's dumb.
Yes, 100%.
Is Rivers going to take the Madden van out here? I know he commutes to L.A. for games and practices.
Yeah, you can't get Phil Rivers to go to practice in L.A. when he lives in fucking California. But another thing that's interesting, and I know, so they're going to be flying across the country. We all know this. And Felger and Maz were actually, they were looking up the numbers for West Coast teams coming east in the playoffs, and there wasn't any real correlation to wins and losses, but I have to imagine a team that's taking 3 cross-country flights in a little over a week, that's got to have some kind of effect. I mean, they're flying out to play Baltimore. They're flying back, and then they're flying back again to play New England. That's a lot of travel. That's a lot of shit. That's going to add up. That's some jet lag, man.
And two things I want to say about that. First, obviously, it's a 1 o'clock game, or as those West Coast teams call it, a 10 a.m. start. But the other thing is, if they're flying out Friday, it's a 5-hour flight. 3-hour time change. That's 8 hours. That's a full day of business that they lose in the air. Now, I know that they don't fly the way we fly. They can look at video, they can look at playbooks, things like that. But they lose a business day in the air, so that's tough.
Yeah, but don't forget, this is a team that also went to another country and won this year, too. So, you know, I think the travel thing is definitely going to be a factor. I mean, anyone, you know, take a flight anywhere, it's exhausting. But to go from L.A. to Baltimore to L.A. back to New England. But, again, I still think this is a tough team. And I don't think it's going to affect them too much on Sunday.
Now, something that I think has not really been talked about a lot, obviously the Patriots, they backdoored their way into that bye, which has been incredible. I love that. But the Patriots, every time they've won the Super Bowl, they've always had that bye week. So that's kind of something that you knew they needed going in. But with a 41-year-old quarterback, giving that guy an extra week off, that's going to be huge. Giving him 2 weeks to not only, you know, study and watch film and all that, but to rest his aching old bones, get his pliability in, that's going to be huge. And I feel like there's not really enough emphasis being put on that lately.
Yeah, that, and also, you know, you have a guy like James White who admitted that all the touches he got this year kind of wore him down a little bit. I think McCourty got banged up that last game a little bit, Hightower. So the whole team, there's a lot of players there that could have used that extra week. I'm sure even a guy like Edelman, you know, not the biggest guy who always takes a good couple whacks. Gronk, obviously, we haven't mentioned him yet. Doubt he might have.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a big one I was going to touch upon, was Gronk. Yeah. Was, you know, how do you use him in the playoffs? You want to kind of save him at first? You think he's going to be able to play three straight weeks? He hasn't proven that this year. He hasn't really done that in a long time. So how do you go about using Gronk? Do you come out guns blazing or save him?
Sorry, Mike. I was saying the last game was perfect for Gronk because he made a few big catches. He had a few other big targets. So basically, he's made it so the Chargers do have to cover him. They do have to consider him somewhat of a threat. So they used him enough without overusing him. So I think that last game they played him in was an absolute perfect use of him leading into the playoffs.
Now, Red, getting back to what you said about the bye week being huge, obviously it's huge, but I wrote about it this year. I've kind of updated it the last couple of years on the blog. I kind of wish they were playing Saturday night because not only would they get the bye week, they would have an extra day's rest going into that AFC Championship game the next week. We can link to it on the blog, but the Patriots are just 1-2 in the Brady era AFC Championship games that come after a Sunday victory in the divisional round. So again, I wish they were playing Saturday night because 9 out of the past 12 times they've received that bye, they played on a Saturday night. And I just think that's kind of along the same lines as a 41-year-old quarterback needs that bye. He could also use that extra week or extra day of rest even. And you see, sometimes in these runs, Brady doesn't usually have three great games in a row. Usually there's a clunker in there somewhere, or you wish he could have played a little bit better in one of them. And a lot of times it's in that championship game because it's on no rest or no week off.
Is there a method to that madness, or does the one seed get the Saturday game? Or is that just kind of a coin flip?
Now, I don't know this for sure, but I seem to remember in the past, it's up to the league. And I think the league just wants to put the best TV game on Saturday night. And New England has a loyal fan base, so.
True.
Now, I think what you're saying about the Saturday games and potentially having a better shot with that, I think mathematically that all makes sense. But as a old washed man, the Sunday 1 o'clock game, oh, that is perfect for me. I just roll out of bed. I have a 6-pack before 4 o'clock. And then I just lay on my couch. I go to bed at 9 o'clock. I don't have to wake up. I mean, I'm watching Sunday night football games, Thursday night football games. I'm standing up by the fourth quarter because I'm falling asleep on my couch because I'm an old asshole.
The best part of being a Pats fan is for those Sunday night games. They go up by 3 touchdowns and you can go to bed. Game over.
Now, there's a couple other things that we could talk about. Something that, you know, we did our own podcast on a couple weeks back that was a little bit of an emergency, and it'll be interesting to see. But no Josh Gordon, obviously, for the Patriots. He is out. He's God knows where he is. He's in a secret facility, hopefully getting some rehab. But the Patriots, once again, have to retool their offense on the fly. And you guys were just saying a second ago, how are they going to go about it with Gronk? I feel like if Gronk is as close to the end as a lot of people predict he might be, I think it's, you know, take the training wheels off. So let him go. Balls to the wall, man. It's like, if he can't do it, fine. But you need him to be the old Gronk if you're going to go if you're going to win a Super Bowl. So there's no sense in holding back now.
Gronk seems like a balls-to-the-wall type of guy. I know that sometimes he's cautious and he sits out games when he might not be 100%, but I think, generally speaking, when he's in there, he's not half-assing it. He is going 100%.
Yeah, I don't think, too, not to get away from Gronk too soon, but I think in this game in general where we're going to be staring down the barrel of that pass rush, I think if Josh Gordon and a Gronk would have been used less than an Edelman, Dorsett, Cordarrell Patterson, whereas there'd be a lot of bubble screens, a lot of quick throws.
Pro bowler.
But bottom line is, I don't think, you know, Brady's going to have all day to throw deep to a Gordon or to a Gronk. It was going to be these quick passes anyway. So I think it actually matters less in this game.
Well, I touched upon it last week, too, is the fact that, you know, with Gordon now, with Gronk being banged up, they're kind of going back to that old dink and dunk style offense that they used to run, you know, back in the day. You got James White that can catch passes out of the backfield, the same with Rex Burkhead. So I think that kind of allows them to control the game, even when maybe, say, the running game isn't taking off. You know, Sony's been great at times this year, other times, you know, maybe not so much. How's he going to do in his first playoff run? I have faith, but you never know. So I think that's kind of what we're going to see, and we're going to have to, especially when you guys get like Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, who had two sacks last week against Baltimore coming at you. He's going to have to get the ball off quick. So I think that's what you're going to see from them on Sunday.
We don't need to go too far down this road, but it's been a popular topic on talk radio, sports radio the last couple of weeks. Which Patriots team does this team remind you the most of? And there's any answer. The only wrong answer, clearly, is 2004, one of the greatest teams of all time in the history of the league. But really, this team reminds me a lot of 2001. Brady's not throwing deep, dinking and dunking, throwing to the running backs, Antoine Smith, Kevin Falk. And I think that's what they're going to need to do to win these next couple of games. And I think they're going to, you know, empty out the proverbial Madden playbook. And I think they can, and I think they will beat San Diego. But I don't know how many times you can pull fake punts, reverses, things like that, and win three games in a row. So I think they win this week, but then gets a little bit more difficult to do that three times in a row.
Wouldn't it be awesome? And can't you? I would not be shocked to have at least one, and have this be the one monster Rex Burkhead game, where he catches 10
Rex
passes.
Rexy.
Catches 10 passes for 100 yards and a TD. Like, I could definitely see that happen.
It'd be better than his last January. We ripped open the quarterback's thumb.
Well, yeah. It would give me vindication too, because he was my pick for offensive MVP, and that hasn't worked out.
I was
going
to say that. Yeah. I've been meaning to go and pull the footage and just take a look at all of our predictions and see how they panned out. Obviously, Rex Burkhead got hurt, but you know that's kind of his brand. So he did not have, you know, the 75 catches that Mattis was predicting, unfortunately.
No, I don't think it was quite 75, but it was wasn't too far off. Maybe.
It was a big fucking year that he did.
I expected big things out of him this year. I'm gonna blame it on an injury. It was a mulligan. He'll make up for it.
What round did you draft him in? Second or third?
You know, I actually went. That was one of the biggest turning points in the draft for me. I was sitting there. I think it was the fourth round. I ended up taking Russell Wilson. Usually don't take a quarter. We're not gonna. Don't worry. We won't go down a fantasy path there. Took him in the fourth round, was almost going to take Burkhead, so I let him go. So at least I didn't suffer on my fantasy team, even though he sucked anyway.
Yeah, I will. I got to pull that footage. I got to do the checks and the X's and just kind of take a look at, oh, that was not good. I think I had 12-4, and I will say I had the Steelers going to the AFC. The Steelers beating the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, but as soon as the Le'Veon Bell news came out, I pulled that. Post video production.
Nope. Can't do it.
Connor did well, man. James Connor was my fantasy stud of the year.
You and me both, James, because Connor, I kept, man. Le'Veon Bell. I didn't have a choice.
Bringing the fullbacks back.
Lucky you.
Yeah, is James Devlin going to have another game? Let's discuss James Devlin for a moment.
Yeah.
When you need a yard, who are you going to call? James Devlin.
Now, are you... Wait. What's your offensive line strategy? You more of a pull guy? You more of a zone blocking guy? Okay, I'm not going to get into that.
That's what I was going to actually ask. Do we know how Baltimore's? No, seriously, what Baltimore's offensive line was like when they were getting Swiss cheesed up? I mean, they were getting Swiss cheesed up. Were they good this year?
I mean, they Baltimore had a, I mean, I won't say they had a good running game this year because I drafted Alex Collins in the second round, who fucking sucks.
Don't give me that look.
Yeah,
Alex Collins?
To do it. Yeah.
I believe them too. I drafted
him. But then when Gus
real
Gus,
high on Alex Collins.
What's his name? Gus?
Gus Edwards.
Gus Edwards, not Gus Johnson. When Gus Edwards came in, Gus Edwards, he was running the ball the last month of the season. They looked like a, you know, pretty solid running team. But, you know, when you have a quarterback who can't throw the fucking ball, it's pretty easy to put, you know, 11 guys in the box, and I fucking dare you to throw it, dude.
Gus Talk Edwards, Buck Allen, do they have anyone on their team that doesn't sound like they played for, like, the 1941 Yale team?
Right. So it's the team from the longest yard.
Yeah.
Talk about Baltimore for just a minute, though. I know that they looked awful for three and a half quarters, certainly on offense. Did anyone else watch the end of that game? I was convinced that Baltimore was going to pull that one out. Yep. And that's going to make you feel good as a Patriots fan, too. Obviously, the Chargers I don't even want to say dominated. They kicked a lot of field goals in Baltimore. San Diego played well. L.A., excuse me. Chargers played well, but they almost gave that one away. I was convinced that the Ravens were going to pull that one out. So let's not forget that. It's not as if they stomped on them 41-0.
I made the San Diego error the other day on the blog and read rather than just fixing it. Just had to humiliate me with it. It was great.
Shaughnessy made the same mistake on Twitter, and people are ripping Shaughnessy. There's a million things you could rip Shaughnessy on. You know, until they find a stadium in L.A. County with more than 30,000 seats, I think San Diego is still acceptable.
But, Rick, you make a good point because I watched that whole game, and it was awful. And I was just kind of, you know, shitting on both teams on Twitter. Like, are we supposed to be more afraid of the team that's kicking five field goals or the team that has negative passing yards in the third quarter? But I know the Ravens came back in the end, and they made it a great game. But, like, to your point, the Chargers almost gave it away. That's that old Chargers, we're going to blow it defense, or just that DNA. They're finding a way. They're getting tight in the end. I mean, Phillip Rivers, he's been around a long time, but I don't know, man. That it's hard for that stink to come off a team. So that was revealing. And maybe it's a tight game down the stretch, and the Patriots use that old Gillette mystique, and they pull one out.
The Chargers did not look as dominant as Baltimore just looked incompetent. They didn't trust their quarterback to throw. They didn't do anything on offense. And the Chargers scored a couple. I think Lamar either fumbled or threw a pick inside like the 20. They gave the Chargers half their points. The Chargers
did not look dominant. But do not sleep on Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. Melvin Ingram last week, 7 tackles, 2 sacks, and a forced fumble. So look, the one saving grace for the Pats is their offensive line. It's been great this year. And I think this is a huge game for Trent Brown. He's a free agent this year. This is where he's going to make his money. If he can go up against Bosa and Ingram and keep them at bay and keep Brady clean, then I think they'll be fine. But do not sleep on those two. They are two forces to be reckoned with off the edge there for the Chargers.
The last thing
I'll say
about
Dwayne Allen in line blocking this week. A lot of Dwayne Allen in line blocking.
The last thing I'll say about that Baltimore Chargers game last week, the Chargers reminded me of Michael Scott trying to sell the Michael Scott Paper Company back to Dunder Mifflin. They almost blew it. I'm going to say something. No, I'm going to blow it. They just barely got out of there. They got into the locker room and they closed the blinds. And just celebrated.
Now I
pulled that one off.
I was surprised no one else brought this up. Because I couldn't stop thinking about it. And you know, it's probably just because of the hate. But that Ravens game and that Lamar Jackson game plan, the way he was playing, I got a very Broncos Tebow feel to it. Because this is a team that looked like shit for 3.5 quarters, and in the fourth quarter, he starts throwing up bombs, making plays, and he just gets to winning time. And I don't know, everyone was saying, oh yeah, that's going to be great. He'll look good in the future. Whereas Tebow, they're like, get this guy the fuck off my team right now.
Because he could throw the ball adequately. The team just wouldn't let him. Tebow would just suck, but he'd say a few extra Hail Marys and magically. It's a huge difference. One had ability.
I don't know if Lamar Jackson is a poster child for throwing accuracy.
And Red, I'll agree with Red. I'll agree with you on it. I'll agree with you, Red. I think that he's got a long ways to go. There he throws some ducks and there's some passes. He threw early on in the game. I forget he was throwing down the sideline too, but. Someone's just running the seam, and he overthrew him by a good 15 yards. I mean, that's a horrible throw. So he's got a long way to go as a passer. And I don't know. I have my doubts, but we'll see. I've been wrong before.
Yeah. I was laughing though when everyone.
No, just I like watching play. I'm rooting for you, but you gotta show me more, Lamar. You gotta show me more.
I was laughing though when everyone was crying and calling out for Joe Flacco, bringing Joe Flacco in to save the day. I'm like, he fucking sucks. You guys know he sucks.
Yeah, and the report comes out with an article the other day saying that he's going to get paid this offseason. There's going to be a lot of teams that are interested in him. So
I don't doubt he will. I don't doubt that some idiot team's going
to. Oh yeah, no, I don't doubt it. I just
no, the Vikings are set, so I don't know what the market is for a quarterback like that.
Yeah.
All right, another storyline that we got to talk about because we actually had it on the blog today. Old friend and PED abuser Sean Merriman is yapping his gums. The guy came out of the woodworks, came out of the clouds to start shit-talking the Patriots. And Mattis, you blogged about it today. What happened?
Yeah, so he was on Fox Sports 1 the other day on the Herd with Colin Cowherd. And he basically said that the Chargers were a lock to beat the Pats this week. And saying things like, yeah, they got Brady there and Belichick there. You know, just Brady and Belichick, two guys you might have heard of them, and just being so nonchalant about it, and seemed pretty confident they were going to come here and whoop our ass. So, thought it was
interesting. Didn't the Chargers drop him like a bad habit? Like, where is this long-standing Chargers coming from? That's the weird part to me. Like, I don't understand where suddenly he's become like this Chargers super fan. Maybe he just hates the Patriots more than anything else. Maybe he's like Terrell Suggs.
Because we're classless.
Well, I mean, Chargers is the only team he really ever played for. He had shots here and there, but there's the only team he ever had any success for. I'm pulling up his stats right now because, you know, we all know he got busted. Yeah, we all know he got busted for his steroids, and then his career fell off a fucking cliff. Just looking at it now, he had sacks. He had 10, 17, 12 and a half, and then he missed a year. I think that was injury. The next year he had 4. Yeah, the next year he had 4. The year after that he had 1 game, and then they cut him. And they had two years of a couple games in Buffalo. So the guy had 37, 39 sacks in 3 years, and then he had 6 in the next 6 years. So I don't think that guy's in any position to talk about anything other than steroids.
Boy,
and Tila Tequila. And Tila Tequila.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing, too. But
yeah, he's a bare-knuckle boxer now, so, I mean, if he watches this, I'm just kidding.
What's her prediction on the game? Do we have that, Rick?
Haven't heard.
I haven't seen Tila Tequila since freshman year, man. Flavor of Love. Not Flavor of Love. It was a
shot of Love.
Shot of Love.
Play on Tequila.
I don't know. But,
yeah, very original. All right, so now before we get to predictions, we got to talk about what are some of your biggest concerns. I know, Mattis, you already touched on, probably Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram just wreaking havoc on the offensive line. The OL's been pretty good, but Joey Bosa is a savage, so I'm a little bit concerned about that. I think that's a very good point, and I could totally see Marcus Cannon, the turnstile, coming out to play that afternoon.
Well, that's why I think Trent Brown is going to make his money on Sunday. He's going to be big because you Melvin Ingram, too. He's another one. And then I was listening to Felger Mads earlier myself, and I didn't even know this, but Meadbane, their defensive tackle, whose daughter just died after childbirth last week, just having a real rough week, he's going to be coming back, and he's a big, big piece for them in the middle of that line, against the run. So even if you want to turn around and try to use Sony just to move the ball, they're tough against the run too. I think last week what was really interesting about them is they used 7 defensive backs most of the time. I mean, they wouldn't even have linebackers out there. So their front is so good, and their secondary has 2 All-Pros, 2 first. So you want to talk about Bosa and Melvin Ingram, you can't sleep on Desmond King and Derwin James. In the backfield either. So, I mean, they are loaded. I really think that they are the most talented team in the AFC. Everyone wants to talk about Kansas City. I understand the weapons that they have. But top to bottom, I do think that the Chargers are the most talented team in the AFC, and I think they're going to show that on Sunday.
I'll blow my load here and just give what I think is ultimately the storyline here to go off what Mattis is saying. Is can the Patriots come back? Because I think we're going to – Brian Flores is going to start the game with his kind of prevent D. They're going to get a few points on us. We're going to be down by 13 about halfway through the second. And that's when Flores is going to clamp down. And can our offensive line hold up? Can we dink and dunk our way down the field and come back from that kind of deficit? And actually, I think we can, because I think we're kind of underrating our own offensive line. Obviously, Trent Brown's had a big year. Shaq Mason, I think, got snubbed for the Pro Bowl. He's incredible. David Andrews in the middle had a great year. I think we're going to be able to run a little bit. You know, Mattis did mention Derwin James in the box. Someone's going to have to contend with him. But I think McDaniels is great enough, and Flores is going to lock it down enough second half where we can make that comeback, despite the fact that, again, yeah, we're going to have to get – Brady's going to have about 8 seconds to get rid of the ball, 8.8 seconds, I should say.
I don't want to oversimplify it, but I think it comes down to Rivers. Now, Rivers is 1-7 all time against the Patriots. Again, he doesn't play the offense on the Patriots. That one win came when Castle was quarterback in the Patriots. That includes 0-2 in the playoffs, and he's never been quite good against the never been very good against the Patriots in the playoffs. Completion rate ratio under 50%, no touchdowns, 3 interceptions of those 2 games. He's 37 years old. This might be his last best shot at a championship. Here's a guy that could play balls to the wall. You know, if he's out there completing 30 of 40 passes and they ring up a ton of points, maybe the Patriots don't get the ball enough. Again, I think Rivers is going to be the X factor.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because I've said for a long time he's one of the most criminally underrated quarterbacks in the league, but he does also have that kind of gunslinger mentality. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a great day, but then maybe try and fit one too many balls in too many tight windows. I mean, the Patriots, for all as much as we should on their defense, they had statistically two of the best cornerbacks in the league, and James McCourty and Stephon Gilmore. So we got some guys back there that can make some plays. I saw Devin McCourty was back today from concussion symptoms. So, I mean, the defense, it's better than people give it credit for. And I feel like a lot of times people are, you know, they're comparing it to old, great, classic Patriots teams, and they're saying that's why they suck so bad. But if you're comparing it to the field, I feel like they have as good a shot as anybody. So, yeah, I think Phil Rivers, I'm banking him, you know, trying to fit a couple in there too many times and maybe throwing a pick to Stephon.
And those great classic Patriots defense to 2003, 2004, that league doesn't exist anymore. So you're absolutely right. Do not compare it to those teams. Compare it to the field. And compared to the field, you know, they're in the mix.
Well, I want to touch upon both things that you guys just said, because I think they kind of relate directly to each other. Is, you know, Rivers, I already talked about how great he was. We talked about the debate between him and Marino earlier. But even if they go up quick, what they can also turn around and do is just run on you with 3 solid running backs. And we all know how horrible the D has been against the run this year. I mean, they've had some bad, bad games. So you can't even let the Chargers go up quick, because even if they flip the script, they can play any type of game. So I think that the offense is really going to have to keep up. Fortunately, you do have, you know, as Red said, a great secondary. I think Gilmore and Keenan Allen is going to be a fun matchup, you know, 2 studs at their position. So, you know, McCourty's going to have to take care of the Williamses, and yeah, McCourty's going to have to step up too. So I think the secondary and the offensive line are going to be the 2 areas I'm focusing on for the Pats on Sunday.
We have been a little Swiss cheese against the line, but we've been better the last few weeks of the season. We're getting hot at the right time at the bottom line of the Pats. And I think if it comes down to the Chargers having to run against us, I think I like our odds better than I would have week 2.
But if you look at that, you play Elijah McGuire the last week of the season. You know what I mean? That's not Melvin Gordon. That's not Eckler. So I just don't think that when they've played premier running backs,
Melvin Gordon doesn't stand on the watch.
So
Melvin Gordon isn't what Danny and Tomlinson.
Well, I know not many people are with Danny and Tomlinson too, but no, you're right.
Coming out that tunnel.
Melvin Gordon, he came back from knee injury a couple of weeks ago, and then in the game last week, he went down, his knee got bent the wrong way, he was looking at it, he was kind of stretching it out, so he's definitely not 100%, so you get that guy coming to play in 20-degree weather, that could be, you know, bad news for the Chargers.
It's not good for the joints. Nope.
All right, boys, let's get to predictions. Let's wrap this up. Joe, you go first. What do you got? Who's winning? What's the score?
I do have the Patriots. I do think we're going to go down early. I'll say final score, Pats 27, Chargers. Yeah, Chargers 23.
All right. Mattis, what do you got for prediction?
Sorry, what was the over-under again?
The over-under was 48.5.
I remember thinking that was high, but I'll stick with my prediction.
I would probably take the under on that. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, a defensive battle. I think they both have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. I think the Pats are probably even more talented on defense right now than they are on offense. So in the end, though, I think Brady's going to pull his magic, and we're going to win it 21-20.
I think the Patriots are going to win. I don't think they're going to cover. I'm going to pick it 23-20, but to go off the board a little bit, I think 23 is going to be because Gostowski's going to miss an extra point. So I just
got to say, it is the playoffs.
Steven cost me this game, I swear to God.
So I'm going to go 23-20 Patriots. So I think they win. I don't think they cover. And I would never bet the under, but I won't bet the over this weekend. If I don't like the over, I just stay home.
Yeah, it sounds like we're all in the same boat. We got them all. We got the Chargers covering. We got the Patriots winning. I think the combination of travel, weather, history, home field advantage for the Patriots. I got the Patriots by a field goal. I'm taking the under. I got Patriots 24-21. I think they pull it out late. I think the Chargers cover. Lock it up. Make some money, guys.
Gotta get to Rhode Island.
Red, if I may, I got to give a little shout out. There's going to be a bit of a homecoming on Sunday for a buddy of ours from high school. His name is Addison Lynch. He's come a long, long way. He is now a coach for the San Diego. Oh, excuse me. I did it too, Rick. See? For the Los Angeles Chargers. He's going to be coming back home. So welcome home, Addy. Congrats from the 300s and everybody. That's pretty cool. So.
And did you know they're actually traveling? Make Brady proud. San Diego's not known to have a lot of local or homegrown people. It's a very transplant city. But I guess the Chargers are traveling quite well in New England from what the stats say, which is interesting.
All right, guys. Well, we got a big game coming up this weekend. That's going to do it for us here. Thank you all for listening to the 300s podcast, which you can now find on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere you can imagine. So do us a favor, subscribe, review the 300s podcast so we can keep bringing you this glorious content. All right, see you next time.
Go Pats.